think about. I'm not going to, you know, say anything. I am expecting questions, and I am expecting some particular topic for discussion from the first three chapters. Who wanted to, you know, say?
Prabhuji, can I ask?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I have one question. If one devotee, means not if one materialistic person asks that to how to prove, to give a proof of the existence of Lord, to give the proof of existence of the Lord, but somehow or other I can accept, means I can give the proof to an intelligent person, but what about ignorant person? How can we prove that? How can I give proof that to ignorant person?
Actually, today's class is, you know, specifically meant for the revision of first three chapters. So if someone has any question relevant to the exam, then we should discuss that first. And then if no one has any, you know, question or any, they would not like to discuss anything, then we'll all, you know, I will answer the questions about, you know, other questions I will answer. So, is that okay, Prabhu?
Okay, it's fine. No problem.
Yeah, so I am just waiting for devotees if they have anything particular to discuss or ask question. Because in CC club yesterday, so many devotees were saying that we want revision. But now no one is speaking.
Yes, Prabhuji. First, I want to speak for this. I want to say something. Prabhuji, please have some explanation on that yoga.
Are you outside, Mataji? There is some disturbance coming.
No, Prabhuji. I am not outside, Prabhuji.
Achao.
Anya, please have some summary on that, Prabhuji.
Okay. So what we can do is, okay, so Mataji is asking me to explain the entire verse, Anya Bila Sutta Sanyam Jnana Karma Jnana Vipam. So what I will do is, I will ask questions to devotees now. So I think devotees, because they have prepared and because they have heard, so now they should answer the question. And if there is something missing, then I will add to it. Okay. So who will now explain the entire verse? I think, you know, when I explained this verse in detail, that time Aitra and Nidhi Matari, they were there. I think the rest of the devotees were not there.
Again, some disturbance started.
Who is outside, you know, like, please be
cool. I'm outside. This is not because of being outside, bro. I would say just mute. Just mute your phone. Whoever is not speaking, just remain on mute.
Okay. Vinita Mataji, are you calling from internet or are you directly calling from your phone?
No, that's directly from me.
Acha, okay. Yeah, because internet...
But Nidhi Mataji is outside.
Who?
Yeah. But Nidhi Mataji is saying that I am outside, Prabhuji.
No.
Nidhi Mataji, sir.
I am at my... No, Prabhuji.
Okay, just a minute. Sorry. Who is that right now?
Saroja Mataji.
Okay, she's outside. Yeah.
You are outside.
Yeah.
Again, disturbance started. What about Bhairavi Mataji? Are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji. If your voice is echoing, the disturbance is about the voice.
No. So, I think now it is gone, but in between there is some disturbance.
Yeah, now it is gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so, Aritra, Nidhi Mataji, or any other devotee, if they would like to share something about this course, then please explain.
Hare Krishna, we are outside, yes. But shall I try to answer this question?
Mataji, actually, you know, I would love that you would be able to explain, but unfortunately, you know, there is a lot of disturbance because of your distance.
Yeah.
So maybe once you reach back home, maybe you know after that you can.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Aditya and Nidhi Mataji.
Yes, I think Nidhi Mataji can go ahead and explain.
Why? What is this? Everyone just wants to, you know, okay, you go ahead, you go ahead. But no one has to take the lead. So this is not done, huh?
Okay.
How many hours class I've taken till now?
Two
hours each and every class into how many years? Like maybe 1 year till now?
Close to 1 year.
1 year. I mean, you all should be confident actually.
So, okay, I can try. See, the thing is, the way you explain in front of you, explaining, like, you know, I tend to lose words in trying to explain it. Maybe writing is easier.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, you know, go word by word, and you know, you'll get all, like everything you'll remember.
Okay, that's another technique. Okay, then by your blessings, by the blessings of Vaishnava, I'll try to explain.
I like your blessings in the Vaishnava.
I'll do like, you know, word by word. So the verse begins with Anya Abhilashita. Abhilasha or Abhilashita. It means desires. And Anyabhilashita means like no desires that are not conducive to bhakti or that are not directed towards devotional service should be harbored. Sorry. So Anyabhilashita Shunyam means to zero out, to like nullify. So Srila Rupa Goswami says that pure devotional service is the first step, is the path to pure devotional service is completely nullifying any desires that are contrary to devotional service. So what are the other aspects, like what are the other kind of desires that one may have? He says, jnana, karma, so desires of mental speculation, philosophical speculation, or like intellectual gratification, that is not conclusive, that is not conclusively coming to the point of bhakti. It's like, you know, just saying maybe this, maybe that, you know, Brahman is this, Brahman is that, but not really recognizing the Lord as a person. And of you know, concluding that the end all and be all of spiritual realization is love of Godhead. So it's basically just speculating without coming to the point, like I'm doing now, kind of. So, and the other thing is, he says karmadi. One is karma.
So yeah. One, we already explained about Anya Bilasita Sunyam. So you have explained almost everything. Just one point is missing. So do you recollect that 1.1?
Yes.
Maybe not,
yes.
Do you recollect? Yeah.
About Sita, you said something which I don't recollect. Anya Bilasita. Sita.
Ha, okay. Yeah. And what about Aritra? You also recollect the same point?
And you also, Swamiji, gave about example of Draupadi, like she called out to the
Lord. One second. First, explain the what is the significance of Sita.
Yeah, that doubt I had.
I cannot remember that.
Doubt? Achha, you both in the command. Is there that in the recording?
Actually, this is not recorded, Prabhu. This class was not recorded.
Aripal is there. Aripal.
So,
that recording is there.
Okay.
Aripal, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sita means ulterior desires, right?
Well, I don't know.
Ulterior desires.
Why?
Why? Because somewhat other, we are just consumed in materialistic activities. So if our desires get transformed towards Krishna consciousness, then automatically we become Anya Bilasa Sunya Jnana Karmani Anavritamsya. When our desires get transformed, material desires get transformed.
So why? Okay, anyway, I know. No. I think you have, okay, the recording is not there or you have not heard it properly. So, Anya Bilasita, see why Anya Bilas is not used and why Anya Bilasita is used. Okay, so why it is? Because Anya Bilas means all the desires. All the desires. Okay. So all desires should become sunyam. But we don't want that because in bhakti, we are full of desires. But that desire is to please the Lord. That is the only desire we want. That's why Anya Bilasita Sunyam. All other desire except desire to please the Lord should become Sunyam. So this is the significance of the word Sita. Okay, Anya Bilasita. Okay, so I hope that everyone understands this. Okay. Now Nidhi Madhari, you please explain Jnana Karmadi Anavritam.
Jnana and karma are required, I mean, only in context with bhakti, with whatever is related to bhakti.
Okay, so what kind of jnana and karma?
Only whatever is required for performing bhakti.
Yeah, and what about other jnana and karma?
No, that is not required.
Yeah, okay. So can you explain what that jnana and karma is pertaining to bhakti?
Jnana is like again knowledge of knowledge related to Krishna, and karma like karma.
Devotional service, Prabhuji? Devotional service, yeah, but karma means what kind of karma?
Fruitative karma?
No.
How can it be fruitative karma? So you are saying fruitative and you are saying karma?
No.
So,
to get freedom, like, you should not have that desire for fruitative karma, like.
Correct, yeah. So, so then what
is the karma, Prabhuji?
Context of.
Sorry,
okay, so there are three types of karma.
Yes.
So which are the three types of karma?
Akarma, vikarma, and karma.
Right. So karma, so can you, what is the difference between these three?
Yeah, karma means what is described in Veda and doing according to them.
Well, what?
And vikarma is for our self-gratification.
Okay.
That is the stage of karma. And akarma means no fruitive desire, everything is surrendered to Krishna. Whatever we do, we do doing it for to please Krishna.
Correct, yeah, that's right. So, so karma that is given in this context, which is connected to bhakti, is that we engage everything in the service of the Lord. Whatever occupation or duty or work we do, it is for the pleasure of the Lord. So that karma and that jnana. So what jnana is that? It is, as Mataji was saying, yeah, it is knowledge of Krishna. But the one, you know, the most important thing is the knowledge which is given by the guru to the disciple, or the knowledge which is required to advance in bhakti. Because through knowledge, avidya is destroyed. Okay. So, see, that's why in this particular line, it's mentioned Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. It's not mentioned Jnana Karmadi Sunyam. Because Jnana and Karma will remain. So, that cannot be done.
Okay.
Okay. So, that's why Anavritam. Okay. So, now, third line, Aritra can explain.
I know. Yeah. So, in continuation with what you explained just now. So, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktirutam. Anukulyena means favorable. So, there is another verse in Haribhakti Vilas which says, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Varjanam. Means, whatever we do, like this Jnana Karma, that should be favorable to, that should be favorable to, that should be pleasing to the Lord. Like that should be in line with devotion, devotion to the Lord. So Krishnanushilanam means, and this word Krishnanushilanam means in a regulated way. So it should not be ad hoc, like, you know, we do once and then not do it for days and then suddenly, it should not be whimsical. There should be a regularity. Favorable Jnana Karma, like in a regulated way, results in topmost devotion.
Bhakti
Uttama means the topmost rung of devotional service can be achieved when one favorably cultivates knowledge of Krishna and acts in pure devotion or serves with pure devotion in a regulated way, in a regulated and continuous manner. Not whimsically.
Okay. So now,
everything
can
should
you
be
remember
favorable.
Examples of this? So if you see, actually, Kamsa, he actually was pleasing the Lord in one sense. So why is bhakti not uttama bhakti? And on the other hand, Yashoda Maya, you know, she is considered to have uttama bhakti. But actually, she, you know, in the Damodar pastime, she actually displeased Krishna. So then how do we, you know, understand this?
Because Yashoda Maya want to care of Krishna, and on that side, Kansa want to kill him. Both are in Krishna conscious, but in a different way.
So Anukulyena means what?
Favorable. Yashoda Maya's bhakti was favorable bhakti. Uttama bhakti.
Can you say that something, you know, only, you know, that is pleasing to the Lord, that can be considered uttama bhakti?
No. That phrase, there is another word called anushilanam. It has to be, like as I was saying, that it has to be done in a regulated manner. There should be no breaks. It should be continuous.
Okay. Yeah, it should be continuous. But what about the question that is pleasing the Lord sufficient? Okay, so one answer is that it should be continuous. So let's say, now Kamsa was also continuously pleasing the Lord in one sense by, you know, being envious of the Lord. So he was always meditating on the Lord, he was thinking about the Lord. So he was, that his meditation was also continuous.
Yeah, but then he was not doing it favorably. He was envious of the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
So that's
why Anukulyena.
Anukulyena.
Yeah, okay. What about Yashoda Maya?
Yashoda Maya was pleasing the Lord without any ulterior motives. She doesn't have any motives, motivation.
Yashoda Maya Krishna was not happy when Damodar Leela took place. So Krishna was, you know, very angry on Yashoda Maya when Yashoda Maya left Krishna to, you know, when the milk was boiling. So she left Krishna and then she went to turn off the gas, right?
Yeah.
Like, so then she actually displeased Krishna.
But that milk was also for Krishna.
So what does this mean?
She wants to please Krishna anyway.
Sorry?
Satisfy the Lord.
In spite of...
So what does it mean? If the milk was boiling over and she left Krishna to take care of the milk, so then it seems that she is actually more concerned about the milk than Krishna.
But the milk is going to be fed to Krishna only.
Milk is what?
The milk was for Krishna's pleasure, like to feed him.
Yeah.
So if that milk got spoiled, then she was worried that
Krishna would be hungry
that time. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Correct. Yeah. So that's the reason it is given Anukulyana. Okay. And it is also Anukulyana Krishnanu Shilanam, as Aritra was saying, that continuously you have to please the Lord. So Anukulyana is favorable disposition towards the Lord. So that includes both things. Okay. It will automatically please the Lord. At the same time, it is favorable. That's why just pleasing the Lord is not sufficient, because even the demons also please the Lord. So Krishna enjoys with the demons, he enjoys killing them, fighting with them. So that also pleases the Lord, but they do not have favorable disposition. So that's why there is something lacking. So that's not Uttama Bhakti. And then Yashoda, in case of Yashoda Maya, whatever she did was, everything was connected to Krishna. So when we say Krishna Anu Shiranam, it actually includes Krishna and the Vishnu avatars and everything connected to Krishna, all the paraphernalia, everything. Okay. So whatever is connected to the Lord, if you do that, then it is as good as pleasing the Lord. Okay. So ultimately, actually, externally Krishna displayed anger, but internally he was very pleased, he was very satisfied, because the pastime was going to unfold in some time, Damodar Lila. Okay, so like that. Okay, so we have covered most of the points, only one point is remaining now. So the question is, I think Nidhi Matari was talking about Draupadi. So is Draupadi's bhakti considered to be Uttama bhakti?
Now we discuss this.
Yes, it is considered.
Why? Actually, she took shelter of the Lord at the time of danger, time of difficulty. So is that considered to be, Uttama Bhakti?
Yes.
So it seems that, her love was because of some ulterior motive. Or because she wanted protection, shelter of the Lord. So that's why. So then what is the answer for this? Okay, I think anyone else? Vinita Madhuri,
Because Draupadi has some desires. That she wanted to Krishna protect him in the most dangerous time.
Yeah, so that is the question, no? So is there Bhakti Uttama then?
Yes, no, Bhakti was Uttama, Mukundi.
Okay, so can you explain how it was Uttama?
Actually, she was always in the thoughts of Krishna only, but at the time of danger, first, she was thinking that her husband will help her. But when they were also not able to, then at the last, she remembered Krishna.
Yeah, so is that Uttama Bhakti?
Because she don't want to get the trouble to Krishna.
Okay. So?
So that's why she, her Bhakti was Uttama, I think so, but not able to explain probably.
Okay, you are saying the right thing, but more explanation is required. In case of Draupadi, Vishwanath Thakur explained that whenever a devotee is in dangerous situation, then naturally he will seek protection and shelter of the Lord. It's natural to remember the Lord. Okay. So it is not against the principles of Uttama Bhakti, because that desire is temporary. The feeling is temporary and it does not go against the principles of Uttama Bhakti, which is Anukuliyana Shilanam, Krishnanu Shilanam. Okay. So that's why the Bhakti is Uttama. So if any devotee, you know, during danger situation, they can always seek the shelter of the Lord. So that is always considered to be pure devotional service. Okay. All right. So, you know, we have... So are you satisfied now with Vinita Matari?
So Prabhuji, in answer we have to give such examples also. Then only 2 pages can will be filled.
Of course, see, these examples are important, no? Because without these examples, you cannot explain actually.
Okay.
So whatever we discussed till now, everything you have to mention.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Okay,
so this is done. Okay, now any other thing?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay, Swati Matari, you have any question or any particular topic to discuss? Anyone? Swati Matari, you are there?
Thank you, not there.
Yeah, so you have any question?
Prabhuji?
No question?
Prabhuji, I have one question.
Yeah, okay. See, I just wanted to, you know, inform all of you that in case if you are joining late or if you are, you know, going early, leaving early, then at least make a point to hear the recording completely, you know, because otherwise, you know, many important points will be missed. And then obviously, you know, I'm also not aware, and I can also not keep track of which devotee is, you know, leaving what time, coming what time. So I also don't know how many devotees are there now this time. But at least, you know, whenever you are joining or whenever you are leaving, you know, if you are missing something, then please hear the recording, so that, you know, you get the many points are covered actually, you know, which you might ask later. So that will just save time. Okay. Yeah, and I'm not even aware actually, you know, that, like, because I know one thing, that some devotees, you know, they are not able to attend all the class. So I'm not updated, you know, whether they are recording, hearing the recordings or not, you know. So what will happen is, you know, if you don't hear the recording on time, then it will just keep piling up. And then, you know, and then there is a tendency just to neglect it, you know. And obviously, you know, we will think that when the class will be there, we'll ask questions, we'll get the answers, that's it, you know, it's done. But, you know, that's not the right, actually, you know, attitude. So, you know, I would really recommend that any devotee, you know, see, they have flexibility. They want to join whenever they want to join, whenever they want to leave. That is up to them. But at least hear the recording completely. You know, don't miss anything. Okay, and it will be nice also, you know, if you also can inform me that, you know, although we have missed so many classes, but we are continuously hearing the recording. So that way I will also understand, okay, like, you know. So, yeah, I would really appreciate, you know, if all devotees can do that. Okay, so who was that? Nidhi Matari?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Prabhuji, you said in one class, like, sannyas is forbidden in Kali.
Okay.
Then why are, like, devotees in Iskcon taking sannyas? Like, what can we explain?
So, if you remember, I had given the answer also.
Yes, that is mentioned.
So are you hearing the recording? So first of all, this particular topic of sannyas, you know, is that, you know, from the first 3 chapters or it is coming later?
Later, but it's a general question. Like you said, you'll ask conceptual questions.
No, I this class is specifically meant for the revision for the exam. That is what I have mentioned very clearly. So I can definitely address this question, but let us first focus on the revision for the exam. Okay. And later on I will answer the question. Okay, so
why are you having a lot of questions?
Huh?
But he's not present in class. Mohit Babu is not having a lot of questions for me, but he's not in class, I think so. He's just so many questions in the book. Mohit Prabhu.
Mohit Prabhu, okay. Yeah, so...
Yeah, but I think he's not in...
He should have attended the class today, actually, because... generally, that's what, I have seen that devotees will ask question, they'll get the answers, they'll go. So, yeah. Okay. So, any other devotees, do you have any question?
Bhakti Mataji cannot hear, you can't hear her, so she has put question on the group. May I read it out?
Saroja Mataji?
Swati Mataji. Okay. She is able to hear you, but we can't hear her when she speaks. So she has put it on the book. She says, I want to know about karma and root cause of bhakti.
Karma and?
Root cause of bhakti.
So different types of karmas and the root cause of bhakti. The devotees, they already know this answer. They can, answer this question. So any devotee would like to say something?
Karma we discussed right now only, Prabhuji.
No, so basically she's asking about the different types of karma, which is there in the first two chapters.
Karma and all those, Prabhuji, prarabdha karma, karma.
Oh.
Okay, then prarabdha karma and prarabdha and karma.
Okay, I'll tell you about it again, there is disturbance. If you can mute your phone. Yeah. You both can speak when you reach home, when there is no disturbance. So that time you can share. Any devotee would like to say about it?
Prarabdha karma, karma means what we are suffering right now. That are matured.
Okay.
And some karmas are coming.
Okay. So was this class recorded? And then I was also explaining about the different types of karma. That time it was recorded or not?
I don't know, Prabhuji.
I don't think these were recorded.
Recorded, yeah. No, because this was early in the chapter.
Achha. Okay, then I think again, I have to ask Aritra Prabhu and Nidhi Mataji to explain.
Okay.
So maybe, okay, let's, so there were the question about karma and there was question about the root cause of bhakti. So I would ask the root cause of bhakti from Nidhi Mataji and I would ask karma from Aritra. So Aritra, if you can explain.
Okay, so I think, someone just explained a little bit about the prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. So there is, karma is basically reactions to our activities. So prarabdha karma are the reactions that we are suffering at the moment for activities that we have passed, that we have performed in the past. So they are basically manifesting, the reactions are manifesting now. But a prarabdha karma is the actions that are latent, like the reactions that are in the latent stage, like they are not yet manifest, although they are...
they will. Yeah.
Okay, actually, yeah, they will manifest. So, thinking if there an example can be given. Say for example, we have someone has robbed a bank and they are on the run. They are like fleeing, they are on the run, and it seems to them that they have given a slip to the law. But they may not be aware that the law enforcement authorities has found trace of them. It's just when they're enjoying, they don't know that they're about to get arrested. So the reaction is coming. It's coming soon, but we are not aware of it because we are not suffering the consequences of that reaction. On the other hand, once that person is caught and put in the prison and is undergoing tribulations, that is prarabdha karma, which is where reactions are getting manifest at the moment. So that is the difference between prarabdha and aprarabdha.
Okay.
Was there anything else to it? I think bijam and kutam.
Of course.
That is also.
That's very important. There is one more thing connected to this karma which you have not mentioned. So anyway, you first explain about kutam and bijam, and probably then it will be connected.
Okay. This is the confusing part. I may make mistakes. So, okay. So bijam. Okay, I'm hoping this is a fail-safe environment. Please don't laugh at my explanation. So bijam is like I'll just compare it with a seed. Bijam is seed, but seed of a plant that is planted. So we know that from that seed there is going to come out will sprout out a plant. So that bijam is the stage where the sins or whatever actions have been committed, and the plant is a result. It's about to come out. So the reactions are about to get manifest. But kutam, Rauji, here I am really confused again. You have to correct me. Kutam is the... It's like the...
Which are already matured, I think. No, okay. It's already matured.
I'm wrong about... Yes, please go ahead.
So it's like prarabdha, bija, prarabdha and kutam. So like that, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so what is bijam kutam, difference between them?
So I was going to say...
Okay, so some devotees, again, I think outside, so there is some disturbance coming. Please mute the phone, Prabhuji. Yeah, so Aritra, you are saying something.
No, sir. Yeah, I was just going to say kutam is the... It's like the tendency to commit a sinful activity because of conditioning or because of avidya, ignorance.
So what is the difference between bijam and kutam?
So bijam is like when you have already performed the sinful activity and the fruit or the result of that is it's about to come out. Like it's about to manifest.
May I
come to?
Yes, I think.
If Aritra does not want to say something, then you can say.
Yeah, I'm going to give it up.
Acha, okay. Yeah.
Bijam is which karma we are doing right now? We are going in seed form. We are just sowing our seed, sowing our karma. Okay. That is bijam, Prabhuji. And prarabdha means which are matured, and kutam means they are in the matured.
I am asking about kutam and bijam.
Okay, bijam I explained, Prabhuji, that is which karma we are doing right now. We are sowing the bijam.
What is the difference between bijam and kutam?
Bijam means they are in the seed form, not matured. And Kutta means they are almost matured.
I mean, that's what I'm saying probably about how the sinful tendency is, it becomes more and more like deep, becomes more and more a part of our inclination due to having performed sinful activities in the past. So like getting into that conditioning of performing more sinful activity, isn't that Kutam?
Desire
to commit sinful activity. Becoming strong.
Yeah, that's kind of connected to, but I'm like, you know, there's some important point actually, which you all are missing. So I think, did I hear Saksimon Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, are you hearing something?
Yeah, now you all are, you know, there's no disturbance, so you definitely can say.
Yeah, you reach home.
Yeah.
The propensity to act, it's like a form of a thief. Now it's like to have alcohol, and I have stopped having alcohol. But then, since I have tasted this, I always have the propensity within me to go back to alcohol.
Okay. Okay, what is Kutam?
The sinful activities which are within us, which are yet to mature.
Which are?
Yet to mature.
So, Bijam is also the same thing, right? It's also yet to mature. It's in the seed form. So then what is the difference between Bijam and Kutam?
I'm very clear about Bijam probably. Kutam, I'm not too sure.
Okay, anyway.
The seeds are yet to form.
Okay, so everyone is saying they are yet to mature, but then Bijam and Kutam, you know, what is the difference?
Yeah, but Kutam
is almost...
It's a tendency, like it's
almost
a...
matured.
Okay, anyways, I think I have to speak now. Any other devotees, they have any, you know, like, about Madhavi? You'd like to say something?
Sorry, I'm also confused.
Okay, anyways, but I see all you are actually, you know, forgiven because you were not there actually when the class was there. So I think Aritra Nidhi and Radhika Kishori, so very, very shy.
I'm here.
Okay, so please explain the difference between Kutam and Bijam. I remember you had attended this particular class and then you thought...
I remember Prarabdha, and NODI started like late.
Right, everyone remembers Prarabdha, Prarabdha, but Kutam Bijam, no one can answer. Okay. Okay, any other devotee? Tanvi, you are there?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm there.
Okay, so you have any idea about Kutam and Bijam?
No, Prabhuji, I don't know.
Okay, okay. Varshana Vallabhi Mataji, are you there? Okay. Anyways, now let me explain. So that is the purpose of, you know, today's revision, because I think many of you have missed the earlier classes, and I think it was not recorded also. Sumit Prabhu, you are there, no?
Yes, Prabhu, I'm there. I'm here.
Okay, so please hear this attentively. So everyone understands what is Prarabdha or Prarabdha, but even though you understand Prarabdha, Prarabdha, but there is some connection to that. So see, Prarabdha is connected to Bijam, okay? And Prarabdha and Bijam both are connected to the present life. So, you remember Aritra and Yudhi Mataji, you know, it's connected to present life. So, Prarabdha is the karma that you are experiencing now. And Bijam is the seed that will fructify in the future, but in this life. Okay?
Awesome.
And A prarabdh is a karma which you experience not in the present life, but in the future lives.
Accumulated.
Okay. So similarly, a prarabdha is connected to kutam. So whatever impressions that you are going to generate because of your karma, the reactions to the karma, so that will actually in the future it will yield some seeds and it will also yield some karma. So this future karma and seed is called as aprarabdha karma as well as kutam. So kutam is in the form of seed which is going to fructify in the future life, and it will finally, you know, it's a aprarabdha karma, and then finally it becomes prarabdha karma in the next life. Okay. So is this clear? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So bijam, prarabdha related to this life, kutam and aprarabdha
Prabhuji,
in the next life.
Future. Yeah. So aprarabdha and kutam both are connected to next life. So kutam and bijam, they both are seed in the same. And prarabdha and aprarabdha karma, they are the karmas or the reaction that one is going to get when one does a simple activity. So aprarabdha means that karma which is not manifested yet, but it's going to manifest in the future life. Okay. And bij is the seed which is going to manifest karma in this life and it will become prarabdha. Okay. So present whatever is happening in the future, in the present life, it's actually the bij, okay, which is going to become prarabdha. So you understand this, and then whatever is connected to future life, it will be in the form of kutam. The impressions, the seeds will be in the form of kutam, and finally the aprarabdha will become prarabdha. Okay, so the kutam will become bijam, and then bijam will lead to prarabdha karmas, like that. So it's a chain, you know, it's just a chain of karma. So did you all understand this concept?
So yes. Can you give some examples for this bijam and kutam?
Prabhuji, see, okay. Okay, let me go one by one. So first, I think Jagdani Mataji is asking question about how, okay, example.
Give some
to,
examples,
you know,
so
okay,
that we can remember.
See, so okay, in one sense, you know, example means, you know, example is like, you know, whatever you are going to get in the future life, not in the present life, that is a prarabdha. It's not manifested at all, correct? So that is a prarabdha. And whatever seeds, you know, in the impression formed, because see, our subtle body will carry the impressions. Okay, so in the present life also I have free will. And I'm also making choices, and in the present life itself, I'm inculcating new karma. Okay, so those will create new impressions, and those impressions are in the next life, they are in the seed form. So that is called kutam. Okay, so when, when you leave the body in this present
form.
Life, yeah, seed form. So kutam is in the seed form. When you leave your present body in this life, and when you go to the next life, and kutam will become bijam, and then bijam will manifest in terms of prarabdha. Okay. So did you understand this point?
Prabhuji, can I give an example? There is a very good example which I think we discussed this. Remember Dhritarashtra's question?
No problem. Yeah, you can say that example.
So Dhritarashtra, at the end of the war of Kurukshetra, when all his sons were slain, he had asked this question to Krishna, and there I don't remember the exact context in which this came up, but that why did I have to lose all my 100 sons? Like, Duryodhan was the most sinful, okay, but then I had like 100 sons, so 99 more. So why did I have to lose everyone? And then Krishna told him that, see, you don't know, like, whatever you are experiencing, the lamentation and grief due to loss of your son, this was due to you, because of your karma, which you performed 51 lifetimes back. So then he tells him, at that time you were a hunter and you did a very cruel act. There was a pack of ducks, like the mother duck and then ducklings. You killed all the ducklings one by one in front of the mother. and the mother had to go through tremendous pain, because of emotional like pain because of this, you know, seeing all her ducklings being killed one by one. So that is the result of that you're getting now. Then he asked, that, why did I have to wait 51 lifetimes for this? He said, because in order to get 100 sons, you had to perform karma.
Lot of pious activities.
Yes, lot of pious activities, which took you that many lifetimes. And then he was like, startled at how karma works. So when he committed those sinful activities, we don't know if he received any reaction at that time, but then in every lifetime he was performing pious activity for which he didn't know like what was the, you know, end result going to be. Like he performed all those activities and kept accumulating piousness, pious credits to at the end of those 51 lives get 100 sons. And then he had to go through that. He had to suffer that pain of which that duck, which is an animal, a bird, had to suffer 51 lifetimes back. So you see how kutam, like the kutam, if you think it's like a snowball, is growing slowly, it's growing. But each lifetime it's accumulating more and more snow on it. At the end, bust. At the end of 51 lifetimes, it busts and all the reactions come out. And say with respect to what Prabhuji was explaining, that bijam is with respect to current life. So in that 51st life, during after the battle of Mahabharat, was that time when that bijam actually fructified. It was bijam at that time, but in all those previous lifetimes, the kutam was being built. And it's relative, but I mean, kind of, you can get the example. What is the idea of bijam and kutam?
Yeah, so in this story, I think I heard, instead of the ducks, it was sparrows, and there were 100 sparrows, and it took 100 lifetimes exactly, because the 100 lifetimes of pious activities made him beget 100 sons in the last life. So see, now it's not compulsory, not necessary that karma will manifest only after 100 lifetimes or after 10 lifetimes. No, it all depends on Krishna.
Yes.
Karma can manifest at any time. In fact, 50% of karma that we get is coming from this life, from this, choice also, the choices that we are making. So it is like, mixture of everything. You are suffering reaction of previous karma, at the same time you are creating new karmas in this life. And part of that karma you get in this life and part of that karma you get in future life. Okay. So 50% you get in the future life, 50% you are facing in this life. Okay, so this karma, see, basically the karma will create impressions. And impressions will create seeds, desires in your heart. So those desires will manifest in the next life. So actually it is kind of extrapolation. So aprarabh karma and kutam, this is basically extrapolation of the current condition of the living entity. The desires of the living entity, basically. So... okay, so does this make sense?
Probably in the Dhritarashtra story, when he killed that sparrow's egg, that is, so that was bijam or kutam karma, what that was be called?
So okay, so what do you mean by bijam? I already explained. The karmas that are going to become prarabdha. Okay, so so the seed which is going to finally yield the karma in this life. Okay, so so what will happen is, the bijam in this life, but if it is not manifesting, then it will become the kutam in the next life, and it will become prarabdha whenever the kutam will manifest. And so actually in the next life the kutam will become the bijam. Okay, because see, you have to remember one important point, that kutam and aprarabdha are connected to future life, and prarabdha and bijam, they are connected to present life. So at some point of time in the future, so you will be in the present. Okay, so if I tell you that you will take 3 births, so on your 3rd birth also you are in the present state. So when you are in the first birth, in your 3rd birth you had Prarabdha and Kutam. Okay, but when you took the third birth, then the Aprarabdha and Kutam, they both become Prarabdha and Bijam. Right? So this thing you have to remember, that they are connected to present life, and Aprarabdha and Kutam, they are connected to future life.
Future life.
So, Jagjani Madhuri, does this answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Now, other devotees were saying, asking some...
Prabhuji?
Huh? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In nectar of devotion, none of this is available for the Kutam, Bijam.
Yeah, actually, no, Kutam, Bijam is there, but only thing, Prabhupada has not used the word. He has used Prarabdha Karma. I think he has mentioned that, but he has not mentioned about...
Yeah, Kutam, Bijam is there.
Has he mentioned? In English version? NOD?
No, Prabhuji, he had not mentioned.
It is not there. Because as far as I remember, see, Aritra and Devi Mataji, if you remember, I was also saying in one that class when I was explaining all these things, that Prabhupada is not, it's like difficult to understand from Prabhupada's purport. And, so Acharya, like Jeev Goswami and Vishwanatha Thakur, they have very clearly given these concepts. So if you remember, I'll mention this point. Prabhupada's purport is somewhat, not clear. So
he doesn't use the term, technical term.
So I understand that all of you, you have not heard this earlier. So it's good that you brought this up, because this is very important actually, karma, the concept of karma.
Actually, he uses the word Kutam, Prabhuji, but he doesn't use the word Bijam.
Yeah. So, okay, whatever it is, he does not properly, explaining in, details,
it won't be clear the way you said, Kutam is future than
present. Yeah, so when I read Prabhupada's purport, that time I also wanted some more information about this, so then when I refer to the notes by, Acharyas, then it was very clear. So, does this answer your question? Okay. Now, any other devotee, they wanted to say something about this point?
Should we refer to any other book, Prabhuji, to get some clarity, more clarity?
Prabhuji, it is in NOD, Prabhuji.
No, in NOD, which version, since this is all not.
I think Madhuri...
Can I read, Prabhuji? It is there, Prabhuji. Those who said described as almost mature refer to the distress from which one is suffering at present and the effects lying as seeds are in the core of the heart. There is a certain stock of sinful desires which are like seeds. The Sanskrit word Kutam means that they are almost ready to produce the seed or the effect of the seed. An immature effect refers to the case where the seedlings have not begun. From this statement of Padmapurana, it is understood that material contamination is very certain. Its beginning, its fruition, and results. And how one suffers its results in the form of distress are part of a great change. When one catches some disease, it is often very difficult to assess the cause of the disease, where it is originated and how it is maturing. The suffering of the disease, however, does not appear all of a sudden. It actually takes time, and as in the medical field, for precaution's sake, the doctors inject a vaccination to the growing of contamination. The practical injection to stop all the nutrition of the seeds of our sinful activity is simply engagement in Krishna consciousness. This is in the NOD committee.
Yeah, it is there, but it's not clear.
But it's not clear the way Prabhuji we discussed. Kutam being in the future, Bijam in the present. I remember it was a little confusing when we were reading it.
Yeah. So, very nicely, you know, Acharya explained that concept. So you just have to remember that you have past life and future life. So
yeah, that is easy to do. Yeah.
Okay. So does this answer your question, Swati Mataji, about karma?
Swati.
She's outside, my brother.
No, she probably she can message, no, in the group.
Okay.
So that was about karma, and second question she asked about the root cause of bhakti. So I wanted to ask you this question. So what is the root cause of bhakti and why? How?
Root cause of bhakti is bhakti. Bhakti in devotee's heart is the cause of bhakti.
So basically the root cause of bhakti is the devotee.
The bhakti in devotee. And you also gave example of like devotees go for book distribution.
Correct, yeah.
So they don't give books to all. Only few people get the books. So what's the reason for like... So the reason is that since the devotee is limited, he cannot give it to everyone.
Yeah, but who can give, you know, bhakti?
Madhyam Adhikari. Because he makes distinction, like whom to give and whom not to give.
Okay. And why Uttama cannot give?
Because he can't distinguish.
Right.
And he also feels that everyone is superior to him. Everyone is superior than him. Like everyone is a Uttama Bhakt, then he is punished.
Yeah, okay, that's good, yeah. So, the root cause of bhakti comes from the devotees. And ultimately, bhakti is coming from bhakti. So, it does not depend on anything else.
Prabhuji, can you explain again? I got disconnected, Prabhuji.
Root cause of bhakti, Mataji, can you again explain?
The root cause of bhakti is bhakti. That is there in the devotee. So the devotee is the cause of bhakti.
First of all, one second. See, the root cause of bhakti is actually devotee. So, you know, if you say bhakti, then the devotee aspect is gone. So that is not right. Okay, because the root cause of bhakti comes from the mercy of the devotee, basically. And obviously in Nectar of Devotion, in I think 2-3 classes before, we had, or maybe 2 classes before, we had discussed how devotion comes from sadhana. It can come from mercy of devotee and mercy of Krishna. So in general, the root cause of bhakti is mostly from the devotees. Okay, and then obviously some exceptional cases, it is manifesting because of Krishna's mercy directly. So the root cause of bhakti is devotee's mercy. Okay, so that's how we have to say. And obviously, when we say that bhakti, then like, so can we say that bhakti is dependent on the devotee? Okay, because bhakti is independent, right? So then we say that no, bhakti is actually independent, because even the devotee's mercy is actually coming from the devotee's bhakti. So that's why bhakti is coming from bhakti, ultimately. Okay, so that's how we answer this question. Okay, so yeah, so only a Madhyam Adhikari can bestow bhakti, because you know he is able to distinguish, and because the devotees are limited, that's why you know not everyone gets bhakti. So Krishna has given this privilege to his devotees, you know, the Madhyam Adhikaris. Okay, so that's what we were discussing. Okay. So is that okay, Vinita Mataji?
Yes, so I think this thing we have in recording, Prabhuji. I think so.
Yeah, maybe, because we have discussed this, I think, after a couple of class.
Yeah, these recordings we have, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I hope it answers both questions of Swati Mataji, about karma and the root cause of bhakti. So now moving onwards to, okay, any other devotee, do you have any particular question on?
Can you explain the sadhan bhakti and bhav bhakti and prema bhakti?
Sadhana bhakti is, okay, all right, let the devotees answer first.
Sadhana bhakti is one which brings you relief from material distress.
You can't hear.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please.
So sadhana bhakti is one which gives you relief from material distress. And bhava bhakti, prema bhakti is
who said that sadhana bhakti gives relief from material distress? Where it is given?
This is one of the characteristics of pure devotional service.
So we are basically asking, okay, the question is, what are the three different types of bhakti? Sadhana, bhav and prema.
Right.
So any bhakti, the characteristic of uttama bhakti is that it's a byproduct, relief from material distress. Okay, that's a byproduct. But what is the main goal of sadhana bhakti?
Because in sadhana bhakti we engage our senses in the services of God and we fix our mind on Krishna. Senses which are material, they become spiritual.
Yeah, okay. So what is the meaning of sadhana bhakti basically?
Practice.
Basically, we follow some fixed rules and regulations.
Counting of 16 rounds.
Yeah, practice.
That is sadhana.
Practice. So, rules regulation means practice. It's not continuous.
Yes.
There are two divisions, Prabhuji. One is sadhana bhakti, the Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what is
then,
Vaidhi bhakti and what is Raganuga then? Both are kaam se na sadhan bhakti only, na?
Yeah, but both are practice. Even spontaneous devotion, but still it is a practice. Why?
Because
Vaidhi
bhakti,
Raganuga is not in practice, Prabhuji. It's a...
It can also come into practice. It's not completely spontaneous. Complete spontaneity will come at the state of bhava. So we still actually keep practicing that, spontaneous devotion also.
So we are in the stage of sadhana bhakti then, we are in stage of vaidhi bhakti.
That is all, yes. So how can I say that, it depends on, the guru knows which devotee is in spontaneous or vaidhi bhakti. So we start with vaidhi bhakti practice, in vaidhi rules, regulations. Right, okay. And then, once we are advanced, then we practice Raganuga, spontaneous devotion. So basically, Vaidhi Bhakti is rules regulation. And spontaneous devotion is without rules regulations. But still it is a state of practice. So what is the goal of sadhana bhakti?
To attain bhava.
To attain love of God.
To attain bhava. Not love of God. Love of God is prema. So the sadhya of sadhana bhakti is bhava, right? And under sadhana bhakti, you see there is vaidhi and there is raganuga, sadhana bhakti, right? So vaidhi is connected to rules and regulations, and spontaneous devotion is not connected to rules, so much not connected to so much rules and regulations. It is kind of spontaneous, you know, but still it is a practice. Because we have not yet attained the goal. And obviously at the state of bhava also there are further categories, further divisions, further levels of bhava. So, you know, only once
exactly
we reach the
state of bhava. Exactly mentioned at 4.
What 4?
At 4 kind of bhava bhakti and 6 type of prema bhakti.
Oh, that is not 4 kind of bhava and 6. No. That is once you go from vaidhi to bhava to prema, then special characteristics they add. Okay, so two qualities they add in that. So it is not bhava has 4 categories and prema 6 categories. No. Sadhana has, like, you know, I think sadhana has 2, then bhava has 4, and then prema is 6. That. So two qualities, characteristics they add once you keep advancing.
Which are
the two? So, is this clear, Madhavi? Yeah, is this clear, Madhavi?
Can you explain that two more subdivisions?
Yeah, so, you know, pure devotional service is immediate relief from all kind of material distress. Then pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. So that comes under sadhana. Then further two characteristics add, it will become bhava. And then prema is all the 6. Bhava is 4. And then sadhana is 2. Prabhupada does mention about that in his purport. So I don't remember which chapter, but...
What chapter only?
First chapter.
I can read that if you want.
Yeah, you can read that.
There are 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. First one is, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Second one is, pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Third, pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those in pure devotional service deny even the conception of liberation. And last, that is 6, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna.
Not that. I was asking about, okay, so this is the second chapter, the first paragraph itself. The first stage of devotion, you read the first paragraph, it is clearly mentioned here. There are many subheadings, generally it is understood that in the category of devotional service in practice, sadhana bhakti, there are 2 different qualities. Okay, then devotional service in ecstasy has 4 qualities, and devotional service in pure love of God has 6 qualities. So sadhana, bhava and prema, so 2, 4 and 6. So the 6 characteristics you already know from the first chapter. So the first two are the characteristics of sadhana bhakti, then 2 are characteristics of bhava bhakti. And so obviously the bhava bhakti will also include the first 2. So it becomes 4. And then the prema bhakti will include all the 4 others also. So it will become 6 in total. Like that. Right? Okay. So is that okay, Madhavi? Yeah. So, all right. So, any other question? So, is the revision over?
Suri, can you give us
examples of questions?
Examples? Means?
Like, you know, question bank, not fully.
Pembasu, he is married.
No, no, no. Little hint, we want little hint, Prabhuji. How are the questions?
So diplomacy used in the service of the Lord, no?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm making the service in the Lord.
Yeah.
There will be objective, Prabhuji.
Huh?
Objective type questions are there.
No objective, no subjective, only elaborative questions. Everything you have to
do. No multiple choice
answer. No multiple choice answer.
Uncle,
wait. Prabhuji, at least few multiple choice, Prabhuji, at least.
Anyways, you know, all the questions are, you know, are there, it's going to be conceptual. So, and I told you earlier also that in this particular, the first exam, I am also including questions that we have discussed, which is not in NAD, which are general questions, which all devotees should know. So, this first exam, it will include that, but later on, you know, once we start monthly exams, then it will be only related to the subject matter. But only the first exam will have all these questions.
Okay,
so if you have now, so any question from the NOD class, the first three chapters, any more question, any more discussion? If, okay, so then...
Prabhuji, you say conceptual, you are not understood. That's why I asked you for an example.
Okay, I think I gave examples, like, you know, see, the in the beginning itself, when we started the class, devotees asked about Anya Vilasa or Sanyam. So that's a conceptual question. What do you understand, you know, by... So, and how do you, you know... So, each and every term is, each and every word is very important as well. So, how do you explain that? How do you understand? What is the definition of Tama Bhakti? So that's a conceptual question. Then you know, we discuss about karma. So what are the different types of karma, you know? And what is the difference between the different types of karma? Like that. So these are conceptual questions. And then, you know, why Krishna does not, you know, yeah, like, you know, bhakti, you know, it's, bhakti is the root cause of, you know, the root cause is devotee. So how, you know, explain that, like that. So these are kind of conceptual questions. Like okay, another I can bring you, you know, okay. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra, like, you know, some say that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is inverted, just so that, you know, everyone can chant because it's a Vedic mantra. So is this correct? So gives, you know, proper put shastra to prove. Like that. So this is a conceptual question. So you have to understand the concept. There is nothing that you have to mug up. You have to understand the concepts basically. So if you understand the concepts, then you can actually handle each and every question.
So you will not ask, like, what are the six characteristics of pure devotion service?
No, that is not that. That is also going to be there, right? Because the six...
So when you ask,
I know. Direct questions. I know. He's asking direct questions. But I am, see, when you are my student, then I am your guru. So you...
Yes, sir.
You don't know. Even if you try to reveal questions from me, I know there are so many questions which are not even revealed to you till now. You cannot use any diplomacy. Okay, so because there are 30 questions, and even if I give 5 or 6 questions, you know, but there are other questions also, which you don't know about. So in any case, you know, so these questions are something that we have to know, well, you know, which are actually required for proper understanding.
Understood, Prabhuji.
Yeah. So, any question related to the concepts? Okay, so any question related to anything which we covered in the recordings, earlier recordings, in the first three chapters? Any questions from that? So it's not necessarily from the NOD book, but it can be a conceptual question that we have discussed. So how many of you have already heard the recordings for the exam, like for pertaining to the first three chapters?
We have heard something.
Okay, so you all have finished. So you don't think that anything else is there?
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I heard only one recording of characteristic of pure devotional self. I heard only one recording of characteristic of pure devotion.
More recordings.
Yeah, I should hear. I want to prepare for exam. That's why I had heard this characteristic of pure devotion service, because I want some answers for my daily routine questions. Diluted in life. So I heard that recording.
Okay.
And also previously, right now, previously I had asked someone question that Nidhi Mataji told an example that I had got my answer from her.
Got what?
I got a proper answer from her. He was discussing with you now, so I was hearing. So I got my question answered.
So
Prabhuji, in the recording.
Huh?
Prabhuji, in recordings, there is discussion on Guru Tattva and the Diksha also, so that also will be covered in the exam.
So, whatever questions you require for your concepts, you know, whatever, you know, they are all covered. So, obviously, you know, whatever is connected to the principles of bhakti, they all will, all these things will come.
Okay.
So any questions on that?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Prabhu, Satyamama Mataji here. I joined late, sorry, I'm in Mayapur now. What my question is, you said Aprarabdha and Prarabdha. Prarabdha is, in English terms, I was just looking at the chapter, it is, what is mature and immature in this? In the NOD it is written mature and immature. I have heard the two recordings, the one chapter 1, 2 and 3 recording I have heard already. Usme nahi hai ye, matlab bijam kutam. And I think this is something I missed. Well, I joined you while discussing today, I think bijam and kutam. So what is mature and what is immature in this?
Okay, so you know, we just finished that, maybe I think 15-20 minutes back only.
Yeah.
And we were just discussing that you know, in the NOD book it's not very given very clearly. So so I was explaining to all the devotees about the difference between Prarabdha, Aprarabdha, Kutam, Bijam. So now if any devotee would like to again repeat it.
Uh-huh.
who can repeat?
तुमचा कॉल होल्डवर आहे. कृपया फोन चालू ठेवा किंवा पुन्हा संपर्क करा. आपका कॉल होल्ड पर है. लाइन पर बने रहें या कुछ.
So which any devotee would like to repeat?
I can try.
Yeah, sure.
So we have two types of karma, prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma. Three types, prarabdha, aprarabdha, karma.
Yeah, that is different.
That is karma, okay. So we have two types of karma, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha is what we suffer in this life as a reaction of what we have done in the past life. Aprarabdha is the reactions to suffering, yeah, which is going to happen towards, yeah, the coming life. This is aprarabdha. And bijam refers to prarabdha karma. It is in the form of seed. It is yet to mature. And kutam refers to aprarabdha, which is going to come, which is in the form of a seed, but is going to be manifested only in the next life. An example for this, as described by Arata Prabhuji, is Dhritarashtra, how he lost his 100 tons, or a sin which he created 50 lifetime ago. So he carried that as kutam with him, aprarabdha, and only in this life he lost all his money.
Okay, so anything else devotee would like to comment?
Prabhu, is kutam like sanchit karma?
Okay, so difference between, okay, Sakshi Prabhu, can you explain the difference between kutam and bijam?
Yes. As I said, bijam refers to prarabdha karma, that is what we are going to suffer in this life. And kutam refers to aprarabdha karma, which is going to be, we are going to suffer the reactions to that, in the next life. So it is in the future life. So kutam is bijam for future, and bijam is seed for suffering in this life.
Okay, so does that answer your question, Satyabhama Madhavan?
Yes, sir. Would.
Okay, so is this clear?
Yeah, bijam is the sanchit karma in this case, no, Prabhuji? Bijam is already karma done for which we are suffering now. And kutam is, I mean, whatever karma happens in this lifetime, for which we will suffer in the next lifetime.
No. See, first and foremost thing, you should know that prarabdha and bijam, they both are in reference with the present life. So prarabdha karma is the karma that you are suffering right now, currently, and bijam is a seed of that karma which is going to manifest in the future in this life.
Okay.
And now, aprarabdha and kutam, these belong to future lifetimes. Okay, so in the next life, the karma is obviously not manifested, right? So that's why it is called aprarabdha, which it's going to be manifested in the next life. And kutam is the seed which is going to become bijam in the next life. So when you leave the body and when you go to the next life, so the first lifetime, your kutam is in the seed form in the upcoming life. But when you are born in the next life, then the same kutam turns into bijam. because it's a seed form. Okay, so it will
become bijam,
and then bijam will become prarabdha. Right? So, so you understand this concept?
But kutam is, sorry Prabhuji, I think I'm not getting that kutam part. Kutam is for which we'll suffer in the next lifetime, but the sins are then in this lifetime, Prabhuji?
No, no, no. See, kutam is not there in this life only. So understand this first point. Okay. Prarabdha and kutam, they are only connected with future life. They are not connected with this present life.
Okay, okay, so, got it, yeah.
So, that's all. So, so see, this life only bees is connected, bees. So kutam and bijam, they both are seeds. Okay, but in this life we call it as bijam, and in the next life we call it as kutam, like that. So that, in, when you take birth in the next life, then that kutam will become bij, right? Because you are in the present life then. And then that that bijam will finally lead to prarabdha karma.
So I mean, can I say that kutam is, which is for which? It is a seed now, but we become kutam next lifetime. That's what you're saying.
It's a seed of the future life. You know, it's not seed of this life. So it's waiting. You know, it's many, like it's going to manifest. But that seed is going to form in the future life.
The karmas are being done in this lifetime for it to form as a seed next lifetime, right?
Exactly, yeah. So you have three choices in this life. So that three choice impressions will be created in the next life. So that will create seeds for the next life.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So is this clear to everyone? Alright, anything else regarding the class, I mean the exam, you know, first three chapters? Yeah. Okay, so what about, you know, other devotees? Is Meghna Mataji there?
Automatically unconscious.
What about Ramakrishna Prabhu, Usha Mataji? Have they joined or like they are not there today? So what about Varshana Vallabhi Mataji, then Sudhavan Mataji, Ujjwal Kalambi Mataji? Are you all there? Aliksha Mataji, are you there? Because Rasal Gopro was not going to join. So, okay. What about Tanvi? Are you able to understand these things?
Yeah, Prabhuji, I understood till now.
Okay.
Prabhuji. One question, you have answered this in many class, maybe it is like a revision. Can you say that, how do the devotee know that his anarthas are all going? I mean, you said that while you should be engaged in seva, and then your mentor or your guru will be able to know whether your anarthas are going. I mean, what can the devotee do? Like, I know intensive chanting or chanting properly, that is one way, but what else you can suggest?
Okay, so this is, I think, okay, so this question is, I think, out of context for the current class. So if there are no more further questions on the revision class, then I will answer all these questions, which Sumit Prabhu had asked in the beginning, Nidhi Mataji had also asked, and Satya Bhava Mataji has asked. So I'm asking for the last time now, any question for the exam class, exams, you know, any final question or any topic? Aritra, are you there? Okay, so I think no one has any question or any discussion. So we'll end it here. Okay, now I will take questions step by step. So I think Sumit Prabhu was there. So Sumit Prabhu, are you still there? Sumit Prabhu. So okay, what question you had asked in the beginning itself, like? Does anyone remember what he asked?
No problem.
Okay, I'm not recollecting. But after some time, maybe I might recollect. So anyways, I'm going to Nidhi Mataji's question about... So she mentioned that in Kali Yuga, sannyasis, the one of the forbidden acts is to take sannyas. So why then in ISKCON or ISU? First of all, it's not only in ISKCON, but in all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas also, and even in Shankara Sampradaya also, we are taking sannyas. So, you are only aware about ISKCON sannyasis, but... there are sannyasis in all the four sampradayas.
Okay.
So first of all, the sannyas which is pertaining to jnana and karma, that is forbidden sannyas. Okay, but sannyas connected to bhakti yoga is not forbidden. Okay, so that is the answer to your question. That impersonalist sannyasis and the jnanis, they are not recommended to take sannyas. But bhakti yogis, for them there is no rule. Just like Prabhupada was mentioning about constructing more, big temples. So now these big temples, they are being constructed, in ISKCON. So, but, the purpose is to preach. And obviously, for preaching, we have to create facilities. So, we have to establish big temples. So, what was not recommended in Bhaktivinoda is that after constructing big temples, if the devotees are getting attached to facilities, rather than the real objective of building the temple, then that is not recommended. That's why, so for preaching purpose, one has to take the risk and one has to establish big temples. So that is fine. Okay, so this is similar to that sannyas question, that the intention is to preach the glories of the Lord, to establish devotional service to the Lord. So for that purpose, one can take sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took sannyas in Kali Yuga. And then obviously we see our Goswamis, some were right from the beginning they were renounced. And then later on the Acharyas and all of them, they also took sannyas also. So does this make sense, Nidhi Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, so now Satya Baba Mataji's question. Are you there, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
Okay, first of all, there are ways, obviously there are ways, Guru Sadhu Shastra, I can say in short. So Guru Sadhu Shastra, these are the three ways you can actually understand what stage you are at currently. Okay.
Okay.
But, ISKCON in particular does not focuses on internal development so much. Why? Because there is a responsibility of preaching. So the focus is more on external thing, like how many books we distribute and how many devotees we make. That's the only goal of an objective of ISKCON. In ISKCON, the guru, the sannyasis, the devotees, they actually judge other devotees through these things, that how many devotees we are making. And so basically, we take responsibility to preach. That's how, we judge in ISKCON. So we don't focus so much on internal cultivation. In the sense that obviously it is our duty to go deep internally, because the more we advance and more we go to higher stages in bhakti, then the more effective our service will be, or whatever responsibility you take, that will be more effective. Right? Because obviously all the preaching is the essence, but purity is the force. So we want to become pure in our endeavors, but that is not our final goal. So that's the goal of a Bhajnanandi. So Bhajnanandi, his specific goal is to attain the higher stages. Okay. But our goal is to balance both things together. So our intention and desire is to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada. And they, what they want is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And so that's why the internal cultivation is very helpful to, so the final goal is to actually spread Krishna consciousness. Okay. So the more you are pure in your character, then the more you will be effectively able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Okay. So now, obviously, you know, we see now, the Acharyas and the Goswamis, they have given the roadmap, that this is the roadmap and you have to go like that. So it's a theoretical roadmap, okay? So while taking responsibilities in the service of the Lord, one might not be able to probably, you know, go further, like, you know, advance further probably, because first of all, in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to cross the stage of anartha nivritti. Okay? It takes lifetimes also sometimes. And, depending on the anarthas that we have, lust, envy, greed, you know, pride and all that, it might take long time to cross it. But that's why when Gaur Govind Maharaj was asked this question about, in Kali Yuga it is very difficult to get rid of the offenses. Actually when Maharaj was asked this question about how to how to cross the state of anartha nivritti, you know, and obviously the answer is that you get rid of offenses first. And then devotees asked him that, but how to get rid of offenses? It seems that it's impossible to get rid of offenses in Kali Yuga. So what to do? So then Maharaj replied that take shelter of Guru, take shelter of Vaishnavas, take shelter of Nityananda.
Hello.
So, if you are sincere in our desire, if we commit mistakes in our endeavor, but if we stick to the mercy of the devotees, Gurujan, then they are the ones actually going to bestow us the higher stages. So we are not able to achieve these higher stages on our own. So the only thing that we can do is we should try to please our Gurujans, and through their mercy only we can actually go above. You know, otherwise anartha, to cross the state of anartha nivritti is like kind of impossible in Kali Yuga. So only through their mercy we can actually come. And one lecture Radhanath Maharaj was also saying that ordinary living entities in Kali Yuga, they can never attain the higher stages. So, and then Maharaj said that only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to bestow the higher stages, then only they will get it. Okay. So obviously, does not mean that you completely depend on the mercy and you don't do anything. You have to also struggle, you have to fight, and you have to, put efforts, you know, show efforts to the Lord to attract His mercy. So how do we get the mercy? By following the instructions of our Gurujan. Okay, and obviously basic instructions are always given, you know, in all the classes that we hear from wherever. Like, so if you are following, you know, the essential and the main instructions of the spiritual master and depend on his mercy, then only we can actually go to the higher stages. Okay, so now obviously then there are symptoms of these higher stages which are given in books by our acharyas. So, like, you know, it's very logical, all these stages, step by step, grow. Like, obviously, if you have so much anartha, then how can you be steady in your bhakti? You know, it makes sense. So, and then once you are done with anarthas, then you become steady in your bhakti. Okay? So that makes sense, right? It's like very logical. So then when you are steady in your bhakti, then, and when you do it consistently, then you spontaneously develop attraction for hearing chanting. So that becomes ruchi. Okay. So you have to see, the main stage is nishtha. You know, we have to try to come to the stage of nishtha, because after the stage of nishtha, all other stages are actually dominant by the mercy of the Lord. So our efforts are also there, but the major dominating force is actually the mercy of the Lord. So even if our effort is less, but true, because the mercy of the Lord is dominant, so that mercy can also carry us from nishtha to prema, you know, within a span of 1 year, 2 years, or maybe instantly. Okay, but you know, we have to strive to come to the state of nishtha first. So nishtha means what? And then from bhajana kriya to nishtha, that is dominant by our efforts to attract the mercy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that efforts plays the dominant role in that. Okay, now obviously bhajana kriya is, you know, from Soli, from Shraddha to, you know, Nishtha. So from Shraddha, you all know, Shraddha is what? Shraddha is like faith, deep faith. Then you do bhajan,
yeah.
You know, Shraddha, sadhu, sanna. Then you first sadhu. Meet sadhus. Then they will ask you to do bhajan. Right? So you already see, everyone knows we are at least on the stage of bhajan kriya, right? Because, and actually at the stage of bhajan kriya, initiation takes place, diksha. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So those who are initiated, those who are taking, you know, sadhu sang, or even if those who are not initiated, they are doing bhajana kriya, you know, chanting 16 rounds, following regulated principles, hearing, reading and all that. So they are in the state of bhajana kriya, and by doing bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti starts taking place. Now anartha nivritti can happen very quickly if there are no offenses.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It can happen instantly. Okay. But if
here the offenses are referred only to Prabhupada. If the offenses here are referred only to devotees, Vaishnavas, or offenses to the general people in the material world also, that I want to clarify.
Okay. So now see, there is a difference between offenses to the holy name and offenses to the living entities. So offenses to the holy name includes offenses to Vaishnava also, right?
Sorry. Yes, yeah, correct.
Okay, so now, so the reaction to the offense to the holy name is very severe. But the reaction to the offense to the living entities, jivas, who are not devotees, it's minimal.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there will be some, you know, some reaction, but it will be very less severe.
Okay.
So what is the meaning of offense is that you disrespect the living entities, you know, you don't properly treat them, you know, you fight with them and all these things. So these, you know, there is some, you know, small reaction from that. Because we are, it's very logical because, you know, once we reach Uttamadhikari platform, then the Uttamadhikari is seeing other living entities as more advanced. So the humility is very high in that stage. And automatically you will not offend any living entities also because you will see each and every one as devotee of Krishna. Right? But at lower stages, we see that, you know, that's the, you know, meaning of Madhyamadhikari. The Madhyamadhikari is a discriminate. So here is a devotee, here is a non-devotee. So we should, in the state of Madhyamadhikari, we have to pay, you know, we have to keep distance. We should not associate with non-devotees. But we should respect them and we should not, you know, so that's how we understand.
Offend them. Okay, understand.
Yeah, so offenses to jivas and offenses to devotees. Yeah. So offenses to devotees is part of offense to the holy name, right? Because, you know, to blaspheme the Vaishnavas, you know, who have dedicated their life for praying the holy name. So that's the first and foremost offense. And then the third offense is offense to the instruction of the spiritual master. Okay, so these are offenses to the devotees. So obviously that will have a lot of severe reaction. In fact, the offense to the spiritual master and to devotees, these two offenses can create disaster in spiritual life. Okay. So that we have to remember. So we have to focus on that first, mainly. We by our conditioning, we cannot do everything simultaneously. So let's go step by step. So first, try to not offend the Vaishnavas and try to not offend the spiritual master. Okay, even if you are offending, you know, the non-devotees in the process, that's fine, you know, like, but at least come to the, you know, understanding that first take care of the most important things in spiritual life. So, you know, first start with, you know, spirit guru and Vaishnavas. You treat them very respectfully and never offend them. And then gradually, you know, as you advance, then automatically you'll also not offend any jiva. Okay. Yeah, so these are, you know, like logical step-by-step, you know, practical series. And you know, this, by anartha nivritti, see, if you have anarthas, then your bhajan will be anishchita, which will be unsteady. Right? It's logical because, you know, if you have distraction, if you have, you know, sense gratification, if you want to do sense gratification, then you will not be able to perform steady bhakti. Your bhakti will go up and down. In the sense that, you know, you will chant more rounds today, but tomorrow you will not chant the same number of rounds. And then if you are doing seva one day, then next day you will not do the seva. So you will do seva, you will do sadhana according to your own mind, whenever you want to do. Okay, so that's the state of unsteady bhakti. And it becomes steady, it comes to the state of nishtha when you do it, irrespective of whatever challenges you get in the course of bhakti. Okay, so everything becomes steady. You know, your seva, sadhana, that all becomes study. And then your priority also becomes bhakti. So that becomes the state of steadiness, nishtha. Okay, and from by doing that for a long time without offenses, then automatically you develop a taste where you want to just, you know, hear, chant, read, you know, like for hours and hours. So that becomes ruchi. And the difference between ruchi and asakti is that ruchi is, you know, your attachment to the processes of devotional service, but then asakti is attachment to the Lord himself directly. Okay. So this is the difference between that. So you automatically understand. So concentrate on steadiness first. Okay. And steadiness in terms of, see, ultimate goal of steadiness is to, you have to render service to the Lord. So that is the main thing. You know, if you do not, see, why I am saying this is if you do not render service to the Lord, then there will be no practical realization. So everything, even if you are hearing, reading for hours, for days, but if you don't practically implement what you are, you know, hearing, you know, then it does not make any, you know, sense, because you will not realize where you are. Okay. There are, it has to be followed by service. So service is the final goal, you know, of all the hearing, chanting that we do. Okay. Ultimately it is like, you know, the order of the Guru, you know, whatever the instruction the Guru is giving, you know, we make it the life and soul. So, So this is steadiness, and then automatically, you see, that's why, you know, after steadiness, all these, you know, other higher stages will all come automatically. If you are, you know, keeping the offenses, if you, you know, just try to avoid them. So that's how we understand, you know, what stage we are at. So focus on steadiness first, you know. Once you become steady in whatever you do, then you will realize that, okay, you are probably in the state of steadiness. But obviously, you know, we don't focus on that. Our focus is on service, basically. Okay. So, we are always meditating, you know, how to serve the Lord. And even if the Lord, if he is not bestowing the higher stages, but still we are continuing our service, then that's also, you know, pure devotional service. So whether he wants to bestow us the higher stages or not, that's up to him. So that's also something. So we cannot demand the Lord. So, okay, Lord, you know, I'm steady for 10 years. So why you are not bestowing me ruchi and asakti and bhava? So then it becomes like, you know, you are demanding the Lord. But the real pure devotional serving means, you know, you accept whatever the Lord wants to bestow you. Whatever, see, that's why, you know, you see Siksha Ashtakam, the entire 8 verses, they represent the 9 stages of bhakti. And then what is the last stage? You know, the highest stage, that Krishna, no matter you kick me, you kick me anyhow, and I'm always going to be a servant. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the mood of Radharani. So, this is actually at the level of prema. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then obviously, trina api sunichana, taror api sahishnana, it comes at the level of nishtha. So, yeah, so this is another, you know, very great symptom of nishtha, that humility develops. Mm-hmm. Because without humility developing at the state of nishtha, one cannot go further only. So, humility has to come at the state of nishtha. See, that's why it is at the state of nishtha. It is not at the state of asakti or bhava. So first, because after anatta vritti, the first thing comes is humility. So that's also humility. The test of, you know, the symptom of nishtha.
Correct.
Then how much we are humble, how much humility we are developing.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense, you know, because humility will attract the Lord's mercy, the further stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So anyways, you know, like there are many other detailed symptoms also of, you know, all these stages. But, you know, so we just try to attain steadiness in our bhakti, and then, you know, leave it to Krishna, finally. So, you know, whether he is giving us. But steadiness is the thing, that it is our own effort. So that is what you have to prove to the Lord, you know, that my effort has done my work. Now it is up to you, what you want to do. So so that's why, you know, Prabhupada many times he said that chant 16 rounds attentively every day, follow four regular principles, and preach Krishna consciousness. As you know, in the sense that, you know, you see, basically in Gaudiya Mutt and other organizations where preaching is not the essence or the, you know, the final objective, so then they focus more on bhajan. Okay, so that's why, you know, they are able to chant 64 rounds, and they are also trying to, you know, focus on internal cultivation. you know, but here we are given a mission by the spiritual master, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So we, so that's the reason Prabhupada actually made it 16 rounds. If you remember, in the beginning, Prabhupada gave 64 rounds to us also, to ISKCON devotees. But because you know, the devotees were doing a lot of seva, and then they were not getting time, so then they asked Prabhupada, it's too much for us. So then Prabhupada made it 32. And then they thought that 32 is also too much. You know, then Prabhupada made it 16. And then he said, bas, that's it, I cannot go beyond that. So so then, what does it mean? You know, see, and that time, 16 rounds mean what? That Prabhupada gave 16 rounds, but he also gave the morning program and the evening program. It is sandwiched. So you know, it is assumed that along with 16 rounds, you are attending the morning program as well as you are preaching, and then when you return back, you know, I mean, whatever, you know, if you are working, then you come back, then Prabhupada asks all the devotees to read Krishna book in the night before going to bed. You know, it's a sandwich program. So morning you have one, you know, very heavy sadhana, and then you do your work, whatever, you know, duty is there, and then evening you come back and you have. So then, you know, for that purpose, 16 rounds is sufficient. But if some devotee will say that 16 rounds and 16 rounds I'm chanting, that's sufficient, and then rest of the day he does not engage in preaching work, if he has time, then obviously, then that is not what is, you know, what Prabhupada meant. So 16 rounds is given as a concession for, you know, us, so that we all utilize our time to preach, basically, to serve. So, like that. Okay, take some responsibility for the mission of the Lord. So that can come in any form. You know, it all depends on the devotee's inclination, what they want to do. Okay. So any service. No. Because services are directly connected to preaching and they are indirectly connected to preaching. Okay, in the background, in the forefront, like that. So the background devotees are supporting the preaching work, who are in the forefront, like that. So in one sense, the background devotees are also assisting the, you know, preachers, like that.
Thank you so much. Very nice.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji got disconnected. Even I had got disconnected in between. I had to reconnect actually.
Hare Krishna, I got disconnected, yeah. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Alright, so any other devotees have any question? And one more important point just wanted to share is, you know, sometimes, you know, we try to separate sadhana and preaching. But we have to remember one thing, that, see, ultimately in sadhana, we are also depending on the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord comes when we preach. So these both things are actually correlated to each other, not separate. That's what we have to understand. Okay. You know, this is a misconception generally. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered us to preach, so the order of Guru is the life and soul, you know, it's the final thing for the disciple. So through that order only, if we preach the order, then we advance in spiritual life. Okay. So that's why we have to, the more we preach, you know, obviously the more the sadhana will also go deep. Mahaprabhu will bestow extra mercy on us. That's why, you know, you see many damaging statements of Prabhupada, where he says that the book distributors, you know, they will go back to Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and pick them up if they, you know, distribute books throughout their life. So, a very, you know, extraordinary mercy is available. And obviously, this mercy is available to all devotees who will preach throughout their life. You know, they will use their time, everything in the service of the Lord. So, so we have to understand this thing, you know, because otherwise, you know, many, you know, devotees from outside, they say that, you know, it's important to go deep in our, you know, sadhana and all that. Yeah, that is correct, but the goal is to, you know, ultimately do service, and through that service we also go more deep into the sadhana. Like, you know, we automatically get the mercy of the Lord. See, that's why we said, you know, the essence of spiritual life is yesterday bhakti yathadeva tatav guru. Okay. Implicit faith in the order of spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously. You cannot separate two things, right? So see, Prabhupada showed by example, perfect example of Prabhupada. He had complete faith in the order of spiritual master. That's one thing. And he had complete faith in the holy name. Okay, so holy name is not different from Krishna. So he had faith in both things simultaneously. That's why he's the one who is actually the most empowered acharya in the history of human race.
Okay.
So no one else is able to spread Kesi like that. No? So this is the secret. And Prabhupada writes this in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita also, that many times he says that this is the secret. You know, the order of spiritual master one takes as life and soul. So, you know, those devotees, they will advance like anything.
Okay.
Yeah, and a long time back, you know, we were discussing about, you know, one particular statement a devotee made, that, you know, if you come to this temple, then, you know, you will get bhakti. So that's a, and then, you know, we were discussing about that. That's such a, you know, it's a very, very immature statement. And that, you know, so this type of statement should never be made, because, see, bhakti never manifests depending on the devotee's choice of a particular temple. Bhakti only will manifest when you please the guru, instruction of the guru. Okay, so where the guru is giving you order, that's it. You know, that is where bhakti is going to manifest. So whichever temple it is. See, you even see during Prabhupada's time also, Prabhupada, you know, he had asked his disciples to, you know, change temples, switch temples, you know. So he engaged them in their, you know, national service, you know, whatever they liked to do, you know, book issuing, preaching, whatever. Or you know, like, you know, Jadurani Mataji, she was an artist. So Prabhupada engaged her in that way. But, you know, Prabhupada, obviously, he wanted them to, wherever there is, you know, there is a need, you know, Prabhupada would send them there. And that is what, you know, the meaning of Guru is, you know, because otherwise if we do everything on our own, then what is the need of Guru also, right? So so that is the reason we have to kind of balance, you know. Sometimes we think that we are so sincere that, you know, Krishna is speaking from us, you know, he's speaking in the form of super soul through us. Okay, but like, you know, we have to confirm that. We cannot be attached to that idea. So we have to confirm that from our Gurujan, what they want actually. So this is the thing, you know, the order of the spiritual master has the potency to bestow bhakti immediately. And only those who are faithful to the spiritual master, they only will succeed in their Krishna consciousness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things, you know, we are all connected to the stages also, in one sense. Yeah? Like, you know, you try to do bhajan on your own without, you know, if you disregard the instruction of spiritual master, and if you focus on the internal cultivation, you will never advance in higher stages. You will always be at the state of bhajan abhiya. Right? Because so these things are all connected actually. All these things, you know. So we have to see holistically everything. So like that. Okay, even a bhajanandi, you know, he is doing bhajan because he has been ordered by his spiritual master to do bhajan. So he has the shelter of his spiritual master. So that's why he is doing bhajan. Like, you know, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, You know, he also took Babaji wish after some time. Even Jagannath Das Babaji. So these are all, you know, they are Babajis in Paramahamsa stage. So they all do, they did bhajan, you know, they were not into preaching. But obviously, so one cannot say that, you know, they are not Goshtanandi, because their example is Goshtanandi. You know, the way, you know, they are living, you know, the character, the purity. Like, you know, it is said that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, when he was, if you remember, you know, we have our Kutir, you know, ISKCON temple in Puri. So that is actually the original place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting the holy names. And, you know, what happened is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was repenting so much in Puri, you know, in the ISKCON temple that we have currently. So in that place he was repenting that, you know, I am, somehow I am not able to preach. I am not able to, you know, give message of Krishna consciousness to others. So obviously that was his humility. So he was repenting like that. And, you know, immediately Mahaprabhu gave him darshan know, and Mahaprabhu said that you just sit and you chant here. By your by the potency of your chanting, Krishna consciousness, you know, will spread throughout the world. Okay, so this is what happened actually, and obviously Prabhupada was the instrument for that. So this is what we have to understand, that the order of the spiritual master is the final authority. So whether one becomes Bhajnanandi or Goshtanandi, that depends on the. So in general, in ISKCON, because we are under Prabhupada, we are under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so the general message for each and every devotee is to spread Krishna consciousness. And that's how we'll advance in higher stages. Okay, but exceptional cases, you know, the guru might also tell the disciple to do bhajan or to retire and go to Vrindavan. Depending on, you know, it will be case to case. But it's a rare case like that. So does this make sense? Like, you know. Yeah, okay. Okay, so any other questions by devotees?
No questions.
Okay. So I am going to send the question paper on Saturday 13th. And I just wanted to know what time should I send. Three o'clock. Is that okay for everyone? 3 o'clock. I think, okay, some devotees, okay, so let's do one thing. Let's fix a common time. Let's say 3 o'clock for all devotees. But if some devotees, they cannot give the exam at 3 o'clock, if they can give earlier or later, then they let me know. They can let me know personally. They can message me. And then I will send according. I will try to send at that particular time. If I am not able to send at that time, then I will send a bit earlier probably, or maybe one day earlier, like that. But you know, you just open it when, you know, you start giving the exam. Okay. And then 14th, we have the, you know, house program at Pradeep Prabhu's house. So I'm sure, you know, all the devotees are, you know, will be very excited to share their views on the questions and all that. You know, everyone will be discussing, oh, such a tough paper. You know, so many questions are asked out of syllabus. And Prabhuji did not ask anything. You know, whatever we discussed till now, all the questions were from outside.
Lengthy paper.
Friday CCK of will be there now, Prabhuji? Friday CCK of will be there now? This Friday?
Yeah. Friday CCK class will be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So any final comment or question? Okay, all right then. Thank you so much for attending.
Hare Krishna,
Dharma Pranam.
Hare Krishna,
Dharma
Pranam. Hare Krishna,
Dharma Pranam. Hare Krishna, thank you.